we do not benefit from being lazy and entitled. And the more of an adult that I become and the more I experience content creatorship and just even being in leadership positions, the more I realize that people want to be spoon-fed and people are very entitled, very lazy. And oftentimes that's the reason that you see this stagnancy over people's lives. It's not that it's other people. It's not that other people are the problem. It's that people themselves are lazy, entitled, and choose not to seek out information. This is a very small example, but I think it's going to speak to the point of what I'm trying to say. I have a YouTube channel. I also have a TikTok, and you're listening to me here on the podcast. I also have a blog. In TikTok, and what I have been doing, just for context and understanding, what I've been doing on TikTok and YouTube is anytime I read a book or an excerpt from a book and it's less than 10 minutes, I post it on TikTok. And then I will also take that and post it on YouTube. There's a little bit more strategy behind the way that I do it on YouTube. Typically, TikTok, I'm just kind of all over the place. I might be reading 3 or 4 books at a time, but on TikTok, I will just post them whenever I feel like talking about that particular book. YouTube, I will kind of organize it in a way where I'm focusing on one particular book for the week or one particular book at a time. So for instance, over the past week, I was focusing on emotional intelligence habits. And as I was planning out that content and scheduling it to go out, I noticed that a lot of people were asking me to read more parts of the Old Money book. So I went back to the Old Money book and I started pulling those excerpts to bring them over to YouTube. Now, something that I have learned in my creatorship and over the course of time is to always put the name of the book in the caption, in the description, whatever, because I don't always say it when I'm reading it. And sometimes I say it when I'm reading it, but people don't even make it through the whole video. So it's also not foreign for me to say it inside the video, but people just don't listen long enough. So they'll ask in the comments like, hey, what's the title of the book? Typically, I don't mind that, because I am well aware that people struggle with not being able to focus for a long period of time. Is it something I applaud? No. Is it something that I make fun of people for? No. Is it something that I'm hard on people for? No. It's something that I point out regularly though. And in my own life, what I'll do is if I can't watch the whole video, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'll comment, but I'm not going to ask you a question under your post if I can't watch the whole video. So if I'm watching a hair video and I don't watch the whole video, I'm not going to say, hey, what kind of mousse did you use? Because if I didn't watch the whole video, who knows? It might be in the video and that's on me for being stupid or not paying attention, right? And so, like I said, I get those comments all the time like, hey, what's the name of the book? What's the title of the book? Who's the author? Could you tell us the name of the book? And typically when I have the time and when I sit with it, I'll just go back and answer those people and tell them, no hard feelings. But this time there was a particular comment that asked, and I said the name of the book, the author, and then I just threw in, anytime I neglect to mention it in the video, it's always in the description or the caption. And so this person said, well, next time maybe you should just say it in the video instead of wasting my time. My time is valuable. The hell, right? Like TH. And so I thought that that was interesting because I was like, why that response? Like, why not just, oh, okay, thank you, right? Because to say next time you should just do this, right? It's just kind of like, okay, so I explained, I said, you know, as a creator, I took the time to source this information, to put the video together, and I put all of the necessary and pertinent information inside the video, in the caption, and in the description. I think that it's worth it for you as the viewer to take the time to view it if you want that information. And so the response was just, it was just a lot of sarcasm. So when they responded, they said, yeah, okay, I'm going to go to the library to put the book on hold. And something that what I want to say about this is that entire interaction would not have happened if that person had just taken the extra time to look at the video. And I'm not even being dramatic when I say the title of the book was in the video title. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with YouTube and how it is displayed, but when you're watching a YouTube video, there's a thumbnail, but there's a title. The title of the book was the title of the video. And you, if you look at the description, which I know a lot of people don't look at the description on YouTube, so that's fair. But again, in that circumstance, if I had been in that position where I'm asking somebody a question and they said to me, "Hey, love, it's in the description," I probably would have been more embarrassed that I didn't think to look in the description than I would have taken to trying to like insult that person. And I'm not saying that their intentions were to insult me. But what I am saying is there was something there, something underlying. I don't want to call it an insult or something mean-spirited because it's text communication and it's not spoken. But I want to point out the fact that we are very lazy. We are also very entitled. I've seen this in other instances. I've told y'all about, I have a second YouTube channel where I talk about like my journey as a creator. And I remember there was one video where the title was like, "Get Paid to Be Yourself" or something along those lines. And I was talking about how as a creator, if you're a content creator and not a business owner and you're just creating content, your only job is to showcase your personality, be yourself, and get rewarded for that in long term or short term, depending on how things play out for you. And someone, and mind you, this was a video that was a step by step, like, this is what I did, this is what you can start doing. And someone commented, "How do I do it?" And I was exhausted reading that comment because I remember reading it and I felt like my heart stopped beating because I was like, what? Like, and y'all, I sometimes think and I try to put myself in these situations and I try to think, like I said, I give a lot of grace when people say, "What's the title of the book?" Because I'm like, you know what? Maybe a person is just watching the video. They're not thinking, let me look at the caption. Let me just wait until she says it. Let me look at the description. But to click on a video where somebody's explaining something and you say, "How do I do it?" as if the creator of that video is now responsible for giving you another play-by-play that they already took the time to do. It's almost like the weird thing that happens when we talk about parasocial relationships where people feel so entitled to things. If somebody creates something and puts it out there for you, that is what you're entitled to. If they decide to do more or to extend themselves in a certain way, that's kind of extra. And we cannot expect people to do everything for us. We cannot expect everything to be so easy. And dare I say it, it really is that doggone phone. I was thinking, and I saw a video of someone who went and got a BlackBerry. And I was like, man, my daughters don't have phones yet. They're pretty young, but they're at the age where all the kids their age have phones. So, you know, like when they meet people or when they have their friends or whatever, they'll be like, "Oh, we should exchange numbers." And they're like, "Well, actually, we can give you my mom's number because we don't have phones." And it's kind of like an awkward thing sometimes. And I think it's interesting because when you give children phones, if you think about what happens with us as adults having phones, we become more and more reliant on that technology. So even like basic math, we don't really worry about it because we have a calculator at our disposal. That's fine. We will probably always have the technology to do calculations that we did not learn how to do. But when it comes to thinking, we're too accustomed to like wanting to outsource our thinking, right? So, and it starts in very subtle ways. Like I said, it starts with Google, right? Being able to pull out your phone and ask the answer to any question is both a good thing and a terrible thing because it serves as a crutch and it makes us less curious. Because let's say I want to know something along the lines of, what are the best places to travel in the summer? And I ask Google, Google's going to give me like some return, or ChatGPT is going to give me some return of like 10 items with a brief description of why, whatever. And then I'm going to pick based on that. But what I did in that was eliminated taking time to really explore these things, to have conversations with people, to read multiple blogs, to, you know, maybe watch some YouTube videos. Like, the old style of research is a thing of the past. And this is why we also have so many pieces of information that get spread that are false, because people are not willing to do research. Like, even research papers and the amount of work and dedication that used to have to go into those things because of how many different sources you would have to cite, how many different things you would have to look into. We are now at a point where we will decide what we want the argument to be, and then we just find things to support that, like the first thing. So if I decide that it's a bad idea to let babies wear jeans because it's probably bad for their health, I just decided that, I'm gonna go to like Google and I'm gonna look up articles that support jeans are bad for babies' health. And the first article that I find that supports that, that's what I'm gonna cite. And I'm gonna stop right there. And that's a terrible habit, because when we talk about like science and experimentation, the goal is to actually prove your hypothesis wrong. So if I think that jeans are bad for a baby's health, I should be doing everything in my power throughout that experiment to prove the opposite of what I believe, so that it can actually be valid. I should not just be looking to affirm myself. And it's almost like that's what we're doing. We're getting very lazy. We're just going with the first thing. We don't want to do anything extra. We don't want to take extra time to think or to consider things. We give up so quickly. And I even think about, like I said, how this impacts children. So if adults are behaving this way with technology, what do we really think that is doing to children when their minds are still developing and they're still learning how to think and how to form conversations and how to form results based on what it is that's happening around them? You put a phone in their hand and you disrupt that before it can even happen. And like I said, look at what it's doing to adults. So imagine what it's doing to children. It's killing their curiosity. And when you kill curiosity, you also, like, there's no desire to learn more. There's no desire to figure things out. There's no desire to sit with boredom and try to like think about things on a complex level. And it's really sad. It's sad because it makes, like I said, everybody ends up being entitled. Everyone ends up being like a know-it-all. Everyone feels like, and it's funny because you end up being a know-it-all, but you know nothing, right? Everyone ends up feeling like, I have all the answers, and if I don't have the answers, somebody needs to give them to me. And so we don't have the ability to take time and sit with things. And I almost feel like, in a way, I'm being redundant in this conversation, because I've spoken about this before, where I said how in a similar thought, and I'll use a different example. Let's say you go to church and you listen to a sermon and the pastor explains something to you. He gives you the scriptures and all of this thing, and you're sitting there and you say, but what about this? Now, I'm not saying that you can't go and ask the pastor to elaborate and give some further examples. But what I am saying is, it is not the pastor's job to give you that clarity. It was his job to plant that seed. And so very often we look at the people or the person presenting information to us, and we want them to be our savior, and we want them to be our personal mentor to lead us to more information. And when I say this happens in every dynamic, this is the bean soup thing. Like, somebody makes bean soup. The lady was talking about this. She makes her bean soup and she puts the recipe online, and people are like, well, what if I don't like beans? Can I use chicken instead? Would it be okay? I know you're a vegetarian, but have you ever tried it with beef broth? And I'm not being funny when I say, okay, those can be valid questions, but what if you just tried it? What if you just tried the thing that you're asking people about? I had a salad recipe that went viral, and there were so many questions about, like, how long does it keep in the fridge? Or, and again, valid questions, right? And I don't mean to say that questions are not valid, but what I mean to say is, sometimes we have questions and we just want people to give us the answers. And this is why we're stagnant, because we wait for people to give us the answers. Going back to the example that I said with a person commenting, hey, what's the title? This person waited days for me to respond instead of just looking for the answer within the video, right? And it's something that I have a hard time with, because I am so polarized in that field, where one of the men who I worked for, he owned a restaurant. And something he told my dad when my dad came to visit, And I was like, oh, you should come. Let's go eat at the restaurant where I work. I really like these people. They're cool. They're going to treat us well. You know, some people hate the places where they worked, but like I've always had pretty decent places where I worked and I didn't despise them entirely. But that's besides the point. He said to my dad, you know, your daughter is very unique in that she likes to figure things out on her own. Right. Like she likes to just figure things out. And this was really significant because this was at the time I was learning German. And so I decided to work at a German restaurant. And of course, it was an authentic German restaurant. Like these people were German. And a lot of the things on the menu were German. And I remember I would ask questions, but then I would also like go home. I would write stuff down. Like I would look at the names of dishes, like Sauerbraten and all of these things. And I would go home, chicken schnitzel, and I would look these things up because I wanted to know what they looked like. And I wanted to know the history of it. And I wanted to know all of these things and to just completely immerse myself in it. And that's why I say I don't expect people to do that, because I think that the way that I do that is probably a sickness. Like I will go down rabbit holes just to answer a question for myself. And then I might ask a person for clarity. But I do think that there's some bit of that that is admirable. I do think that taking the time to allow curiosity to lead you can sometimes be a good thing. Whereas we have this terrible tendency to just, we don't want to be curious. We want the answer right now. And we want you to tell me, like, tell me right now what it is. I don't want to wait, right? And it's something that, I can't lie, y'all, it's a bit disturbing, but it also paints the picture of why so many people feel like they're stuck in life and they don't know what to do and they can't get themselves out of the situation that they're in. It's because in everything that they do, they're waiting for somebody to tell them the answer. They're waiting for somebody to bring them the tools or resources instead of just being the person who provides the tools and resources or being the person who takes the extra time to do some due diligence and to find the resource, right? And so what I would want and what I think that we should spend more time doing is being a little bit more self-sufficient and also fully using the resources that are at our disposal. Because one, it's very burdensome to watch a person do something or to experience someone create something and then you ask all of these other questions. So going back to the salad example, if I were watching somebody make a salad and they made a salad with fish and I don't eat fish, I'm probably not going to ask them, can I do this with chicken? Because it's a recipe. Girl, you can do whatever you want. You can fry up some wontons and put it on there. You can put pig lips in it. Who cares? It's your salad, right? And so it's something of a disturbance to me when I see things like that. And it's actually very alarming the number of times that you see similar comments or comments like it. So replacement items, and I'm still talking about recipes here, but replacement items in a recipe, like let's say you put cheese in the salad and they're like, is there anything that I can sub for cheese? Sometimes it's a reasonable question, like if somebody has allergies. But again, Why would you take someone's personal experience with a meal that they use and they can't relate to your experience of being allergic to something or whatever the thing is? Obviously, they don't have that same allergy because they're eating the thing. You can ask Google. You can go to Google and say, hey, I'm allergic to avocados and I want to use it in a salad. What's a good replacement? Or you can search up good alternatives to avocados, good alternatives to Parmesan cheese, what's an alternative to chicken? And these are things that, I mean, like we want to outsource every little part of our life. And even when I make posts about like growing closer to God and just paying attention, I am not your Bible study leader. I'm not your mother, sister, cousin who leads in prayer. Like I'm not. I am a person who loves Yah, and I do my best to be obedient to him, and I do my best to spark conversation and to share the things that I learn. I don't know everything. I can only share my experience. And sometimes I'm hesitant to share my experience because I know that it's going to turn into something like that. And so, for instance, one time I talked about how you have to be very intentional about seeking the presence of God. And I want to make it clear, I keep saying this, I'm not getting on people for making these comments, but I think that sharing this and having a conversation about these comments actually can help to move us forward, because a lot of people don't realize that they're doing this. So if I'm talking about, you know, like, you need to silence your distractions, you need to quiet the noise around you, you need to take some time to really immerse yourself in time with God. And someone will say, like, how do I do that? Right? And I'm not one to say that something is common sense, because I don't believe that common sense is really a real thing, because everybody's life experience is different. So, like, even when it comes to social cues and etiquette, people who are more privileged, so to speak, or like experienced in society and their experiences in life will know certain things about etiquette that maybe more impoverished or less privileged communities will not know. And we will say, well, that's common sense, but it's like, it's common sense to the people who had access to that information. So I don't mean it in that way when I say this. But if you say, well, how do I do that after somebody says you need to silence your distractions, you probably need to take a step back and understand that you're doing it. Right? You can ask yourself, how do I do that, by saying, what distractions do I have in my life, and what can I afford to set aside? Right? Maybe your phone is a distraction. Maybe TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. Maybe those are all distractions, and maybe you just need to stop reaching for your phone so frequently. There's a start, right? It's not going to answer all of your questions. It's not going to give you all of life's answers in one sitting. And unfortunately, I see that that's what people want. We're not comfortable saying, wow, this is applicable to me. Now let me sit with it. And again, I always go back to, part of the problem is the way that we are so inundated with information and technology and media, because you can see a video on TikTok that really moves you, but you're just going to scroll and get back to the program, right? So you don't even sit and reflect on it. And something I mentioned that's really helpful for this, if you care to take this tip, I think that it really will change the way that you engage with social media. And I think that it will change the way that you take in content. But I was saying how the way to be very intentional with your scrolling is, whenever you find a video that makes you stop and think and you watch that whole video, close the app. Like that video, save that video, download that video, repost that video, whatever. But close the app and just write some notes about the video. Like, take the time to just make a mental note. And one example that I have of this, there's two actually that come to mind, but I'll do one for the sake of time. There was a woman on TikTok who basically was explaining that you don't have to defend God. You know, like, I think this is something that a lot of believers struggle with. But what she was saying was, in the context of, there was a young lady who, for as long as I've ever seen her on TikTok, she's like, she's always trying to expose Christianity, right? As from the perspective of someone who, I think she was a preacher's kid, so she grew up in the church, and she obviously experienced some type of like trauma or hurt within the church, and she ended up leaving. And so she's always talking about these things. She reads the Bible, she knows a lot about the Bible, and she's pretty much always speaking out against things, or like calling out the supposed hypocrisy of the Bible and Christianity as a whole. And there was another young lady who is a Christian who called herself like defending the faith and defending God against these accusations and claims that this other young woman was talking about. But the video that I watched, the lady was saying, that's not necessary. Like, God doesn't call us to do that. And it made me think, and this video was so profound to me, because it made me think about Dwayne from Tech Room Bible Talk and Dry Creek Wrangler School, who has said before that it is not our responsibility to convince people to believe what we believe. And he wasn't just talking about being a believer there, but just in general. It's not your responsibility to convince people of anything, but specifically when it comes to God, a lot of times as believers, we think that we're supposed to win souls for the kingdom, but it's not in the way that we think. You cannot make a person change, believe anything, right? And this is where this intentional scrolling comes into place, because I know I'm derailing a little bit. Another video that I watched, it was a very short video. It was a young man crying in his car or being overwhelmed with emotion, but on the screen, he was talking about how he left Christianity to pursue a gay lifestyle, and he felt alone and isolated, and he recently found out that his family had been praying for him, and he was overwhelmed with love because his family was praying for him. And that goes to tell you, it is not our job to just be pointing at people and berating them and degrading them. You say what you gotta say, you let that conviction do what it needs to do, and you move on. And if a person rejects that, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Yeshua, they're rejecting Jesus. It's not your job to convince people, right? And so I'm saying a whole word here, but this, I'm sharing this to say that's how profound this video was. And I have been thinking about it so much. And in that video, in the message that she gave, it connected me to all these other experiences. And so after I watched that video, I just got off TikTok and I wrote about what I just explained, right? And so that's intentional scrolling, because now I didn't close the app, I didn't wrote about this experience, and I'm probably not even about to get back on that app. And what I've noticed is that's really helpful. That is really helpful to consume content in that way, where when something really does move you, or you learn something, or you pick, and it doesn't always have to be super deep. Maybe you just see a video that teaches you how to clean up your credit, but they give you a bunch of actionable steps, and now you're like, you know what? Let me go take notes. Let me just save this video, take some notes, and figure it out, right? And so then you just, you do exactly that. You take the video, you save it, you take some notes, you make a memo of it, and you get off the app. But that is what I wanted to say about intentional scrolling. So if you have that issue that I spoke about, that might be something that can really help you. But aside from that, getting back to what I was mentioning about how do I do this in the comments like that, we have to be more responsible for our own actions. We have to be more responsible for our own lives. We also have to be more responsible for what we do with information. And we have to stop treating life as though we're just bystanders and everybody has to give us everything. I don't want to talk about this today, but I'm going to say, I think that we find ourselves in these questionable circumstances. We find ourselves easily misled. We find ourselves living outside of God's will. We find ourselves like the Israelites playing around for 40 years simply because we just don't pay attention and we don't utilize what is already available to us. We don't research things properly. We want everything handed to us. We always want to find somebody else to do something for us. When somebody gives us a little inch, we stretch it out to a mile. And we have to get out of doing that because it's not helping anyone. And it's a dangerous habit because it causes you to be an entitled person. And entitled people, not necessarily DeLulu, because I'm DeLulu, y'all. Like, you know me. I'm DeLulu. But what I mean is entitled. Entitled being you want all of these things, but you're unwilling to do anything to get it. And as far as I'm concerned, if you watch a video where somebody's reading a book and you are not willing to take the extra step on your own to figure out the title of the book, I just don't know. I don't know. And this happens so much, and it's actually alarming the rate at which any video that you watch, the next video that you watch on TikTok, if you see a viral one, and I only say viral because viral videos tend to have a lot of comments. If you see a viral video, I want you to look at the comments and look at how many of the comments are full of give me the answer to something that I could have gotten on my own. Full of it. And a lot of times it is as simple as where can I get that top? after the creator has already said, the link is in my bio, it's connected to my LTK, or where can I sign up for this course? After the creator has already said, the link is in my bio. Or even if they didn't say it, if you're on a person's page and they tell you about something that you can sign up for, the first place I think to look is the link that they have in their bio. That's the first place I think to look. Or I'll go to their page and just do some digging. But again, we can't even as a society be bothered to interrupt our primary focus to get secondary information. So I'm so busy scrolling and I'm right here and, you know, I'm like, I don't feel like doing all of that. I want to keep scrolling, but I want the answer to this question. But you don't want the answer to the question, because if you wanted the answer to the question, you would stop and seek the answer. And I hope that this is not coming off as condescending. I hope that is not coming off as like very judgmental, because it's not. I almost want this to come off like Big Sister pulled you over for the chat and was like, girl, you got to get it together. Because we are really, I worry for people who do these things and are actually raising children, because you're not like, are you teaching your children to think and to function without having handouts all the time, you know? And so this is a bit of a rant, but I do think that there's a solution in here if you listen intently, right? And obviously the solution would be to stop being a helpless person and to figure out how to be more solutions oriented, because that's what I'm getting at. That's it. That's all. Thank you so much for listening to this particular episode, and I will see you in the next one. If this is your first episode, don't let it be your last. We are in the 20s, approaching like episode 30. So we do have quite a bit of a portfolio behind us. So while you wait for next week's episode, maybe check out some of the older episodes and see if some of those topics resonate with you. See you in the next one.